Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast of Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. My name is Brian Mondock.
And my name is Jeff Jackson.
Jeff, the conversation these days is about short-term trips because summer's coming. That's one thing that we've been communicating with key leaders at churches, and you've been writing to our blog audience about is short-term trips.
Mm-hmm.
And so the very first thing that a church needs to think about when they want to do short-term trips is what?
You know, short-term trips, they need to be, there needs to be a reason why churches do them. I mean, the reality of sending some of your members to another country and just giving them experience, there has to be a larger purpose than that in short-term trips. And so I think the place to begin is, why should a church even consider doing short-term trips? And the reality of it is that short-term trips are one way a local church can, you know, help expand God's kingdom around the world by coming alongside those that are already living on the field and maybe helping them to do their ministry more effectively, give them more reach, connect them with people that they aren't normally able to connect with within the sphere of their day-to-day ministry. So, yeah, knowing the why is much more important than knowing the what when it comes to short-term trips, as it is in so many other areas.
Jeff, one of the things that Shepherd Staff and you being the founder of Shepherd Staff has always been really, really big on is churches having a written missions policy. And so it's sort of an overarching plan, philosophy for missions. So how does short-term trips fit into a written mission policy?
If a church, a local church, has a vision to participate in, you know, helping to fulfill the Great Commission, their ultimate end game is going to be to send one of their own to the field. There would be confidence that God's going to call one of their own members to go and help expand his kingdom. And so short-term teams come in from the perspective of A, you know, helping guys that are already on the field in their ministry, and then also providing an opportunity for those that God may be calling in the future to go long-term. The short-term team provides an opportunity for that. And so within the policy realm, a church should have a written missions policy that sort of lays out what their belief is, how they define missions, what their end game is to participate in what God's doing around the world. And then a part of that policy, besides being sort of the process that a long-term missionary should follow, should be the parameters for doing short-term teams and how those short-term teams fit into their larger missions vision.
Do you think it's necessary to have a missions policy before you jump on board with doing short-term teams?
That's a great question. No, I don't think most churches get started doing short-term teams have a written missions policy. I don't think many of them have thought it through that far. It would be nice if they did, but I don't think it's essential. In fact, what short-term teams can do, if they're thought through and mapped out, even not under the guise of policy, but just, hey, here's the plan. This is what we're going to accomplish. This is the process somebody's got to go through to go on this team. This is what we're trying to accomplish out there. By actually doing short-term teams, it can provoke churches to see the value of a missions policy for finding long-term missionaries in the path to the field, in addition to having a component that covers short-term teams.
One of the things that it's been awesome to watch is when you get, you know, a senior pastor involved on a short-term trip where typically they send off teams, but they don't always participate. And that always changes the whole vision for missions in a church is one of the observations I've made.
Yeah, it really does. You know, if you can get the main guy out there and exposed, in most cases, it will prompt him to come back and say, hey, you know what? There's a great experience to be had. And actually, God can use us in ways we never dreamed of to help further his kingdom overseas. The danger in that, though, sometimes those senior pastors, the key guys go and they like it so much that they just work the teams. They don't actually have that vision to move it forward and desire to have other members in their body experience it too. They just like the experience themselves, and then they do all the trips and the body back home can't relate to what they're doing. So there is a danger in keeping it to yourself when you're in a leadership position. And like anything else, we need to view our leadership positions as stewardship. How do we equip the saints for the work of the ministry? And if the trip is viewed by a leader in that way, then he'll see the value of passing it on.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you say that. I have seen that. And even in your bigger churches, where a church may have a whole missions department. The lead, you know, missions pastor may have a staff, but often the missions pastor's out in the field, not really being able to duplicate that experience in the teams that he's been given to train.
And it's one of those areas where you have to be intentional about it. So, so when a senior pastor or a key leader, you know, takes a short-term trip, if they just kind of do it on their own, they don't seek counsel, wisdom, especially from the guys out on the field prior to going, then they're not going to know, or they're not going to maybe come to the conclusion that, hey, this, I'm sort of the spearhead, but there's a whole spear of church members that need to come behind me.
So the short-term trip, just to summarize, the short-term trip, it furthers the church's goals for missions.
Yes.
And it exposes those in the pews to missions. That's a huge goal, to provide an experience for them that they wouldn't otherwise have. What other goals does the short-term trip achieve in a church?
Actually, one of the things, and this is sort of the undergirding for everything, is a short-term trip, ultimately its purpose should be to help the missionary that's on the field. In other words, it's the missionary and his ministry on the field and what he thinks he needs from those back home that should drive the purpose for the team coming from the home church. So, you know, his expectations on what success looks like, his expectations on how a team can help him should transfer over and become, you know, the expectations of the team and of the local church. And when that is done, you know, in the proper sequence and it's done well, then the church will reap the benefits for its own members. But those benefits have been reaped by going in accordance with what the guy on the field wanted. So priority one is, what does the missionary on the field think he needs? What way can the local church here serve the guy on the field? He determines that. And then the church says, okay, we're going to do that. And by doing that, we're going to serve our own purposes and our own vision.
Jeff, I can remember years ago when I first went through missions training with you, you were kind, it sounds like you've had sort of a paradigm shift in your view of short-term teams. At the time, back low those many years, you were against short-term trips. Maybe, I mean, at least you heavily leaned in the direction of being against short-term trips. Maybe you can tell us why you felt that way so that we can know how to have the proper perspective.
Well, my view at that time was really the byproduct of my experience, you know, on the field. The very first short-term team that we handled was a dozen people from a large church, and it was a train wreck. In fact, when I do training, even up till today, I was doing some training for short-term teams at a large megachurch here in California. I was training their teams that are going out this summer. And, you know, I told them, look, I hosted the short-term team from hell. And then everybody's like, their eyebrows go up and they got this shocked look on their face. And I said, yeah, this team came, you know, it was the first team I ever hosted. They weren't prepared. They didn't follow any of the cultural guidelines that I gave them. There was infighting on the team. They didn't pay attention to what I was telling them about the differences in culture and the way humor's understood. And so it was just a bad experience. And then, you know, I hosted more over the years, but I came to the point where, like, look, I know what I need. I know what's good for the people here. And the people that are going to come on teams, they need to understand, you know, what's going to further the purposes here on the ground for me. And so, so when I was, some people thought I was anti short-term team. I wasn't really anti short-term team at all. Like, stop sending short-term teams. It was more like, look, if you're going to send them and do it badly, stop sending them, because you can create more chaos and create more problems than a team solves. But the reality of it was, you know, Brian, one of the things that contributed to my change too, was that it just became really clear. Like, look, Americans are in this uniquely privileged position to go on short-term trips, to spend a lot of money and fly to different parts around the world. They're able to do something a few other people on this planet can do. And so they're going to do it. And the short-term team industry is truly an industry. Hundreds of millions of dollars are spent on Christians flying around the world trying to expand the kingdom. And so I just came to the conclusion, you know what, if I deny a team here on the field, if I say I don't want to work with them because, you know, maybe they're not going to help me as much as I'd like, the reality of it is they're probably going to go to another guy here in the city, and then they won't get any training. So if they're going to come anyway, then my thought was I might as well be the one to accept them and at least exert some influence over them and give them an education maybe in ways that they wouldn't get if they just went to somebody else that wanted them to come because they were looking for financial supporters, which is one of the motivations for missionaries accepting teams.
The missionaries on the field, they see teams coming as a way to recruit supporters. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. When a missionary on the field has the opportunity for a team to come, and again, I've been there and done that, and you think, hey, there's going to be 8 or 9 people that I'm going to spend 8 to 10 days with. They're going to get to know me, my family. They're going to see our ministry. Hey, you know what? That may be God's provision for my support, my financial support. And so when you're on the field and you're taking seriously your ministry on the field, a lot of times you say, okay, well, I'm not really sure how helpful this team's going to be in my ministry on the field, but hey, if I can get some supporters out of it, it's worth hosting them. And sad to say, that's how a lot of missionaries view teams, because they view them as a source for new financial support. And it needs to be obviously more than that. It needs to be a larger purpose than that. Although that could be a benefit. That could be something that actually happens.
I'm thinking back on some of the short-term trips that I have taken since, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, man, just about every mission short-term trip that I've ever been on, I've been on tons of short-term trips, there has been, you know, a follow-up period of some financial support from my family. I know that. And I'll also say that there was tremendous buy-in, but man, I still have some of my best relationships that I have in my life now are those relationships that I developed with missionaries on the field that I went and visited, that I took teams to. And the ones that are the greatest friends really, really poured into the teams that I brought over. So, you know, I feel like if a missionary on the field sees themselves as disciple makers, then they should reap those benefits. But, you know, if they see just dollar signs coming over, then, you know, that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fruit that, I mean, to just put it in the right framework, you know, financial support could be a fruit of hosting a short-term team, but that has to be way down the list of the reasons for hosting them. And the sad reality of it is that a lot of missionaries actually have that as the number one reason for hosting them. And they're willing to sort of sacrifice their ministry on the ground and ministry effectiveness and even, you know, offending the local people by hosting a team because they're trying to raise their personal support.
And they see themselves more as travel agents than ministers of the gospel and makers of disciples.
Yeah, that very much could be the case. Now, obviously, that would be probably a minority, but that is a reality. And I think, you know, even on the side of, you know, expectations of the team members that go, those expectations need to be harnessed with the expectations of the guy on the field. You know, what does this guy say a success is going to look like for the team that comes and visits him? When the team's ready to fly away in an hour, at the end of the trip, you know, what are the parameters that the guy on the field says, oh yeah, man, this was a successful trip. And he's not saying it because he wants the team members to know they had a great successful trip, but because it actually furthered his ministry in some way.
Again, I'm thinking back over short-term trips that I've been a part of where the teams that I've taken from my church, where we've had the greatest success. And it's always, you always go over with, you just switch your mind from whatever you're doing here in the States to becoming a servant and a student. And that just opens up the doors for great experience, great ministry, and great relationships.
It really does. And what you're talking about there is, you know, what I refer to as, you know, when somebody takes a short-term trip and they're willing to burn up their vacation time, spend their own money to fly to the other side of the world and do whatever the missionary has laid out for them to do. In order to do that, they had to put on what I call a pilgrim mindset, thinking of the idea that that we are pilgrims on this earth. You know, 1 Peter 2:9 and Philippians, this is our citizenship is in heaven. The idea being that when you go on a short-term trip, the way you interact with your day, what's going to happen to you day to day, the circumstances, the people, the trials, you're interacting with them in a way that you do very differently than back here in the States. You should be interacting day to day like that here in the States. You should be living as a pilgrim here. But the familiarity, the comfort, the pattern of life, the safety, the security of life here in America sort of moves us away from actually living as with what I call a pilgrim mentality. Well, a guy, somebody going on a short-term trip, they embrace the pilgrim mentality that they should already have here in the States. They actually embrace it and they live it out over there, which is why they're willing to do anything over there and why they're really flexible and they don't get bent out of shape if something doesn't start on time or there's a flat tire or whatever, right? And that was always a mystery to me. You know, so here I am. I mean, I used to run a children's ministry prior to going to the field. I was the director of our children's ministry, and it was hard to recruit Sunday school teachers. It was hard to get people interested in being in the children's ministry. When I was on the field, I hosted teams, and the easiest way to connect teams of people is doing VBSs and other children's ministry. And I just got to the point where I realized, you know, most of these people are willing to do out here on the field what they're not willing to do back in their own church. And so at the end of my final debriefing, I started gathering the team together, and I'd say, you know, what's your favorite thing you did here? And most of them would say, oh, that children's ministry here, that VBS here. And I'd say, great. How many of you serve in the children's ministry at your home church? And like one person would raise their hand. Everybody else would kind of look down or look away. And then I would hit them with a laser, and I'd say, listen, why are you willing to burn up your vacation time and your money and come over here to live in this heat and this humidity and eat these radically different foods and serve children with such joy that at the end of the trip, serving children was the highlight of your trip. And yet you don't serve in the children's ministry of your own church. How is that possible? And really what happened, how that was possible is, you know, David Platt, who is the writer of the book Radical, and he used to be the senior pastor of Brook Hills, a megachurch in Alabama, and he's recently been the president of the International Missions Board of the Southern Baptists. I was at a conference where he used this phrase. A lot of people think that, you know, going to the mission field changes you, and we call it, you know, transformation by aviation. It was kind of a chuckle. The people that were there were like, yeah, you know, how silly is it to think of transformation by aviation? But reality of it is, there is a transformation by aviation for people that go on short-term teams. They are transformed. They put on that pilgrim mentality to experience whatever God has for them on the field. And for some reason, they're transformed back on the plane ride back, most of them. Why would somebody be willing to do over there what they are unwilling to do here? Well, because they would embrace their pilgrim mentality.
They're totally taken out of their environment and everything is new and everything is fresh. You know, it feels like God is in everything that you're doing because it's so unfamiliar. Yes. That you don't say no, you say yes, and you find great joy in it. But back home, you know, you're home right now. This is where I live. This is what I do. And this is what I don't do. Yeah. And
when you have that pilgrim mentality there, your response to the circumstances and situations that come upon you out of no control of your own, your response is radically different than it is here. And like, I like to use an example because this happened a number of times when we hosted teams. You know, we were supposed to leave at a certain time. I'm using my vehicle to haul the team around. And, you know, we stop at a gas station or whatever. My tire goes flat, right? So when you have a short-term team and they're on a short-term mission, the flat tire is like, hey, well, praise the Lord. You know, we've got a flat tire. And, you know, let's just pray that we can get it fixed quickly. And let's talk to the people that are walking up and down the street while we get the tire repaired. And a flat tire is viewed as something permitted by God and his sovereignty that opens a door for ministry. But when you come out and get in your car here and you have a flat tire, that's not how you view it.
When you hear you get a flat tire, you're like, why me, God?
Exactly.
Some of the craziest experiences that I've had, it's funny that you talk about flat tires. I've had some memorable trips that I've gone on. There's a flat tire. Twice in the Middle East, I had a flat tire. One time I was on a major highway and I'm in the Middle East. And in America, you're thinking, oh, the Middle East, they're scary. But within minutes when we had a flat tire, a car pulls over and they're taking our tire off. They're changing our tire. And we're like, yes, we're here. We're Christian. And it becomes this opportunity to share about what you're doing. you know, you share a little bit about religion's a very top shelf item in the Middle East. And so all of a sudden you're able to share about the Savior around and they're polite and, you know, nodding their head and practicing their English on you. And it's an opportunity. Another time I had a flat tire, we were in the desert and we had a flat tire and it was like people materialize out of nowhere to help with a flat tire.
Right. Yeah.
Third time I had a flat tire was in Cuba. And, you know, again, you think, oh, it's a hostile place. Man, people stop and change your tire in a heartbeat. Here in America, you get a flat tire and it's like people just zip by. They're, I can't stop. I got an appointment. Yeah. You know, and the same thing with you. If you're in your car and you see somebody with a flat tire, it's like, I can't stop. And
that's right. I got to get there so I can do this.
I have deadlines. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny. You're right. You have a pilgrim mentality and God shows up.
And everything, you know, when you have that mentality, then, you know, you clean a toilet as an act of worship on a mission, on a short-term mission trip. You know, you can't get.
And cleaning a toilet in a developing country is not the same as cleaning a toilet.
It's not. But when you have a pilgrim mentality, you view cleaning that toilet as an act of worship, acceptable to God. When you view cleaning a toilet here, it's like, I got to just get that done. And I don't really want to do it. And I got to get that
done. Why me, Lord? Yeah,
and I got to get that done so I can get to a Bible study, because that's really what God wants me to do right now, is be at a Bible study.
Oh, ouch.
Short-term trips provide the opportunity for the team members, especially, to embrace the pilgrim mindset they should already be living with. It gives them an opportunity to taste of that. And then when they come back, if they're trained, if they're challenged, if they're provoked, then it should change the way they live when they get back.
I have to talk a little bit about being the leader of a short-term trip. One of the greatest experiences, we talk about, you know, cleaning toilets and changing flat tires. One of the greatest joys about leading a short-term trip is the end of the day debrief. And just hearing your team members, your people from your church that you took on that trip, unpack how the Lord showed up at that flat tire and how the Lord worked in your heart as you cleaned that filthy toilet where the plumbing was marginal at best. That's the real place that transformation happens. It doesn't necessarily happen by aviation, but it does happen, as you said very well, that pilgrim mindset, but then rehearsing what happened throughout the day really puts a time stamp on what God is doing in your life through that trip.
It really does. And realistically, when as many members of local churches that go on short-term trips, those people, there should be a difference in local churches that are sending a lot of short-term teams. If you're sending more people on short-term trips than you have serving in your children's ministry and in the other, you know, ways, needs that the church has, if there's five times as many going on trips as are actually serving in the church, there's something wrong with those trips. That's not translating into actual kingdom impact here locally. And so those are things that you need to think about.
Let me make sure I understand what you're saying. Are you saying that those short-term trips should be provide conveyance into other forms of ministry at the church? Is that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They should change the trajectory of somebody's life, not just while they're on the field, but their life trajectory has changed and it's visible for months after they get back. Oh, it's a course change in life, which is why, you know, a lot of teams, and I actually got to this, you know, with a couple of teams that I hosted where I wanted to know, does this person serve in your church? If they only attend Sunday morning services, I'm not interested in them coming on your team. Why would you send somebody to me over here when this person, all they do is come to Sunday morning services at your church? They don't serve anybody. They're not on the cleaning crew. They're not in the parking lot crew. They're not teaching children's ministries. They're not engaged in service in their community. Now, why would I accept them to live in a godly manner over here when they're not doing it there?
You see as a prerequisite that short-term team members are a part of ministry somewhere else in the church before going on a
trip. I think they should be. And I think the trip will, if they are, and again, I'm talking in the ideal here, but if they are already serving in the church, they're not just attending the services, and they go over on the trip is going to make them better servants. It's going to restore passion into the ministry, and maybe it'll even prompt them to add more ministry. I actually got to the point where I had a document that I sent to the church, and I said, look, I want to know, do I have the right to know that every team member that you're sending over to me? I mean, I think I do. I'd like to know, how old are they? What do they do for a job? Where do they serve in the church? What's their giftedness?
There's tremendous financial pressure. The church has to front the money for the trip and then hope to recoup it as team members participate. And so, you know, they'll have a very low bar just to try and recoup the money that they've put out. And I think that this gets back to the policy thing. This gets back to what are the goals. And you don't take just anybody just because you got money on the line.
Exactly. And you don't send in just anybody because they have the money to go. If the church's starting point is we want to send short-term teams as a ministry of our church, if that's their starting point, that's not a good starting point. The starting point should be we want to send short-term ministry teams from our church to help fulfill the needs of missionaries on the field. That's where we really want to start. What are the missionaries that we know and love? What do they need on the field? And then how do we create teams to help meet that need? It should be field-driven rather than church-driven.
I can think of an experience where our trip was like that and we needed to recoup the money. I took a team to Ecuador and we brought a guy that was some big contributor's son, and he didn't participate in any of the training and he wasn't a team member on the US side of the trip. And when we got to the Ecuador side of the trip, the guy was a disaster. And he thought because he gave money, he felt very entitled to have some kind of extreme experience. He wanted to be a part of all the decision-making, all of the leadership, but then had no servant heart, didn't want to do any of the grunt work, quote unquote. And man, that's just really the wrong heart, and finances cannot be the driver.
Right. And I think, you know, the churches that do short-term teams really well, they plan it out. I mean, so, you know, most short-term trips happen somewhere, you know, during summer usually, or spring break. And so, you know, the churches that do it well, they've got their trips for the new year planned in October. They have they start promoting them by the end of the year. They have training set up the first few months of the year, and those are prerequisites for going on the trip. And that whole time, you know, there's communication taking place between a leader in the church, maybe the missions director or whoever, with a missionary on the ground that's going to receive the team. The more often they can communicate, the better. And then now the church people know this is the ministry we're going to work with. This is what their needs are. This is what they're expecting from our team. And now we can pass on those expectations to our team members. And part of the training is helping our team members to understand that success as it's defined on the field may be radically different than what you're thinking success is right now.
There needs to be an application process that looks almost like an employment application. Mm-hmm. That detailed, you know, what's the spiritual background? What's your testimony? How did you come to the Lord? You know, what ministry experience do you have? What kind of references are there? And are you willing to submit to the interview process?
Exactly. And you can tell people's character by that. You know, some people would hear all that you just said and say, it's only a short-term team. I mean, it's a 10-day trip. You're talking about that kind of screening? Well, yeah, we are. Because again, our goal here is to help the missionary on the field further his ministry. And that's a serious business. So we've got to take seriously the role we're going to play in helping him accomplish his goal.
At the end of that intake process, we challenged each person that looked like they were going to be a successful candidate to be a part of that trip to sign a team covenant.
That's a great idea. That for me. What is that? What is the team covenant like? What does it cover?
Okay, so let me just read I have the document in my hand. I'll read the opening paragraph to you real quick. It says, the most common reason that short-term mission teams experience difficulty is interpersonal conflict within the team. In order to function as a unified team, it is important to agree on a policy of acceptable attitude and behavior prior to going to the mission field. The following team covenant is an agreement between each team member, one to another, and the team leaders. And so it starts with a purpose statement. It covers flexibility, accountability. It covers responsibility, time and punctuality. You know, a side note here, time and punctuality is very, very in flux, you know, in developing countries. Yes. But for Americans, it's not. And as a team, we need to function within time frames and punctuality so that we can be excellent servants and serve excellently wherever we go. And so that's something that was required of our teams. Culture, you know, willingness to learn about culture and submit to culture, even if you don't understand it. Alcohol and tobacco issues, different, you know, people come on the team and, you know, a lot of times they have different, you know, levels of how alcohol and tobacco should be used. And for us, when we would go, we would just say that's not going to be a part of what we do, no matter where we are, whether we're on, in an airport or in a city somewhere, you know, on our own free time, we just aren't going to have that kind of witness. We would talk about travel. We talk about conflict resolution. And it's not if there's a conflict, but when a conflict. Team unity, gossip, emergency or contingency plans. In the team covenant, there's just three short paragraphs, but it's something that's part of the training and something that's hit on once we land on the ground. We talk about our relationship with God, relationship with others, relationship with nationals, relationship with the opposite sex, relationships with team leaders, and the fact that you represent your home church and Jesus Christ while you're on the field. And so all of those things are covered explicitly in a team covenant, and everybody that goes on the trip is required to sign that. But then also the team covenant becomes modules and training and things that you're able to unpack before you go to the field and discuss before you get over there. It's always been an awesome tool for us, our church, and then it's a tool that we've shared with many other churches as you know, they've wanted to go out. And it's probably something that we could print up and make available on the website, too.
I'm sure we could. I think, you know, that kind of stuff is what people need to hear. See, again, one of the challenges is that a lot of times, because they're looking for supporters and, you know, whatever, is missionaries won't be really honest about how they feel about a short-term team. And so when you get a group of missionaries together to talk about teams that they've hosted, it's a very different conversation than when they're talking with members of churches that have been on short-term trips or are part of a short-term trip. And so, so there needs to be honest conversations and that kind of thing of like making sure the team understands, look, you're entering into something that is significant. It's important. It's serious for the missionary out on the field. And you're going to, you know, you're agreeing to something, to be part of something that has this goal of God's glory among the nations in mind. And that's serious enough that we want to map it out and make sure it's on paper so that we're all on the same page, because team unity is absolutely crucial.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. To learn more about becoming a missionary with Shepherd Staff, go to ssmfi.org/join. Connect with us on Facebook or Twitter by searching @ShepStaff on either platform.